Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's all stand as we read the scriptures, these scriptures together, verses 7 through 8. And allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you're so good. You're so awesome. Despite of all this was happening once again, Lord, we just want to give you praise, glory, and honor. For we know, Lord, that it all belongs to you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, Jesus and the Feast of Passover. Okay? So what we're going to learn this morning is that our Jewish friends, and remember, for most of us, we were in the Jewish temple for 15 years at Madrona Street at Temple Beth Shalom. And I used to always kind of like go over these feasts with Rabbi. Now, they're Orthodox Jews, so they're not born again. And I would always remind them, I go, you know, Jesus is in all of your feasts there. Show me. I showed him. And he kind of like just buttoned it up, okay? Because we're going to see in the scripture that Jesus is in the seven feasts of the Lord, okay? And that there are prophetic significances of what has taken place in the first four feasts and what's about to take place in the last three in the fall. But we're going to focus because Passover usually is very close to Easter Sunday. But where did the Gentiles get Easter from? From the Passover feast. And we're going to see this clearly in Scripture. Amen? The Word of God has to be high and lifted up. Can I get amen? The Word of God has to come to illuminate. The Word of God comes to speak to our spirit, man. Can I get amen? Without the Word, then I'm up here just babbling. But we have to go to the Word. Amen? And so, are we there? Let's go and read this together. Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was what? Sacrifice for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Notice the Word of God in the New Testament said, keep the feast. To acknowledge the feast of the Passover lamb. Look at this. This is not an Old Testament, so some of you theologians say, well, that's the Old Testament. No, this is the New Testament. And Paul is exhorting us to keep the feast. Can I get amen? Amen. Not with old leaven, nor the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. May the Lord have a blessing to the hearer and reader of its word. You may be seated. Praise God. Now, next Sunday, at sundown, Wednesday, sundown, March 28th through 30th, 2021, all around the world, the feast is celebrated around the world, once a year. But we're going to see that this is a dress rehearsal for the things that are about to take place in the near, I believe it's in the near future, okay? So on the biblical calendar, it is Nisan 15. So when I looked in the biblical calendar, I saw Nissan, but I didn't see Toyota or Honda. It's not there, I'm sorry. But Nisan is mentioned, and very significant, Nisan 15 is when Jesus, on the biblical calendar, he was crucified. Okay, so now, it's when Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried in his tomb. But even more profound, the following Wednesday, which is March 30th, 2021, coming in about a week and a half from now, on Nisan 17, Jesus rose from the dead. Listen, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we would be men and women most miserable. But because he lives, we live now. Can I get an amen? The Holy Spirit lives within us because the great exchange took place. Jesus said, I go to be with my Father, but I will not leave you comfortless. I will send the Comforter. Can I get amen? So the Holy Spirit came and drew us to the cross. And because we were drawn to the cross by faith, he gave us a heart to repent. He gave us a mind to be saved. And when we cried out in faith, when we repented of our sins, then Jesus applied the blood. Can I get amen? And when he applied the blood, then the Spirit came in. You see, until the blood is applied, his Spirit will not enter in. Why? Because the original sin from Adam and Eve has to be dealt by the blood. Can I get amen? So when the blood comes and washes away our sin, now the Holy Ghost can reside in this sinful body. Don't try to figure it out. Just receive it by faith. Can I get amen? Praise God. So we're going to look at this story. We're going to see how this unfolded 2,000 years ago for our understanding, for our learning. Can I get amen? Because we serve a mighty God. How many believe we serve a mighty God? Praise God. So now, go with me to John 19. There we are. John 19, 14 through 16. We're going to read some passages in John to discover that Jesus died and crucified on Passover day. So let's read. Now, it was the preparation day of the Passover in about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, behold your king. This is Pontius Pilate. Remember when they flogged you? They had beaten him to a pulp. He was ripped. His flesh was torn. He was beaten. He was tattered. He was mocked. He was spat upon. And he's standing there in front of the public. And Pontius Pilate said, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him. Crucify him. Now, these were Jews about a week before when, remember Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey? And they were all saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna, watch out when people start praising you because they will turn on you in a heartbeat. Can I get amen? Don't read your own clip. Can I get amen? That's right. Don't read that clip. Why? Because people can change their position in a heartbeat. And so this same crowd who was saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, now they're saying, crucify him. What? And Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? And the chief priest said to them, shall I crucify your king? And he said, we have no king but Caesar. Wow. All of a sudden, they had a shift. And I'll tell you why they had the shift. Because they were thinking that Jesus was going to come and set up his kingdom then. And they didn't think a king would allow to be beaten like that. So they lost hope right then and there. This is not the guy. Crucify him. Then he delivered, look at this, he delivered him to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. Now, let's go to John 19, 17 through 18. Look at this. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew, Golgotha. Now, for those of us who've been to Israel, remember in the garden tomb? Right next to the garden tomb, there was that skull, and it looked just like what? A skull. And many believe that's the spot, not the Catholic place that's in Jerusalem. It was outside. We saw it clearly. Where they crucified him and two others with him, one on the other side and Jesus in the center. We all know about the thieves, right? Now, let's go to verse 31. Therefore, because it was the preparation day, meaning, let me just pause real quick. Jesus' father planned all this for his son. This did not take God by surprise. I hope you know that. God the Father prepared his crucifixion so that you and I can have eternal life. It was all God's plan. That's why Jesus laid down his life. He for you and I, he laid it down. Now, Therefore, it was because it was the preparation day that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day. The Jews asked Pilate their legs might be broken and that they might be what? Taken away. Verse 32. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. That water and the blood, it gushed out. And that was the blood that was shed for the remissions of sins for you and I. Can I get amen? It had to be like this. And this is what the Father had prepared before the foundation of the world. Now, let's go to verse 40 now. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound him in strips of linen with spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had been laid. So they laid Jesus because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. Now, for those of you who have probably never seen this chart that I'm going to show you, we're going to look now at what our Jewish friends celebrate once a year. But they don't see Jesus in it. But God has given us revelation to see it. Let's look at this for a moment. Let's look at this. These are the biblical holidays, the spring feast and the fall feast. So next week, next Sunday, it's going to be Nisan 15 on the biblical calendar. It'll be Passover. All the Jews are going to celebrate it on Nisan 15. That's when Jesus died. Okay, the next day is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Is he was in the tomb now. They had taken him down on the cross on Passover, laid him in the tomb. The next day, the Jews celebrate unleavened bread. Now, Jesus was in the tomb without any sin. You catch this? Leaven is a type of sin in the Bible. But they celebrate unleavened, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So now Jesus is in the tomb. He had no sin. He who knew no sin became sin that we would become the righteousness of Christ by faith. So Jesus went into that tomb and he had no sin. Praise God. Now, let's look at the next day. Remember he rose again on the third day? We celebrate Easter, right? The next feast is called the first fruits. The Jews celebrate the first fruits. Jesus rose on that festival day because he was the first to rise from the dead. Hallelujah. Come on. Somebody got to give God a shout of praise. He rose for you and I. Now what they do from first fruits, the Jews, it's called the counting of the Omer. I don't have time to go into that teaching, but 50 days later is the Feast of Pentecost. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, on the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord and one mind, and they were in the upper room, and then came in there a rushing mighty wind that filled the place. Can I get amen? And they were clothed with tongues of fire. Thank you, Jesus. And they were born again at that moment because they were filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. It happened on the Feast of Pentecost. Now, let me just say this. 3,000 years ago, or 3,500 years ago, Moses, this is not a new festival to them. They've been celebrating this for thousands of years. But remember when Moses went on top of Mount Sinai? What did he go up there for? To bring the what? The Ten Commandments down, right? Well, that was Shavuot. That was Sivan 6 on the biblical calendar. That was on Pentecost. Now, remember, when he came down, they were having a big old giant party down there. He was up there in that mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, right? 40 is a time of testing. So when he came down, man, they were building a golden calf. All of a sudden, it's like, wait a minute. What happened? He just delivered you from Egypt. You were in bondage for 400 years. He parted the Red Sea. He fed you manna in the desert. And yet, in 40 days, they forgot all about Moses. Moses had to come down with the Ten Commandments. And then he said, those of you who are on the Lord's side, come on this side. So it was like 50-50. It was like almost this year's vote, 50-50. Listen, half the people went on Moses' side. And the other half remained in that condition. And then God had a giant earthquake. And 3,000 people were swallowed up, and then the ground closed on them. Now, thousands of years later, on the same Pentecost, 3,000 souls were saved when the Holy Ghost was poured out. Are you catching the correlation here? Now, the fall feast have not yet been fulfilled as of yet. Many theologians believe on the Feast of Trumpets. How many of you have been watching my Wednesday nights? And always at the end, I give two profound scriptures because I'm always given an invitation for those to receive Christ. But I'm always using what? Thessalonians and Corinthians about the last trump. So what the Jews do on the Feast of Trumpets, they blast 99 trumpets in their celebration, but the 100th blast is called the last trump. So that lets us know that when they start blowing the shofars and the last trump is given, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord. How many can't wait for the rapture to take place unless you want to stay in these old stale bodies? I'm sorry, man, but this body's failing me. I want the new one. Can I get amen? I think it's going to be about 60 pounds lighter, and hopefully I'll have some hair back. I can do this again. Come on. No, I'm telling you, God has prepared a brand new body for us. Can I get amen? Listen, these bodies are not made to live forever. There's a time limit. If you can live to your 90s, praise God. My dad, 93, praise God. But my mom passed away at 62, so we don't know the day or the hour when it's over. But one thing we can rest assured, that God has prepared, hallelujah, a brand new body for us. Now listen. Now, when the church is removed on the Feast of Trumpets, we don't know what feast, we don't know what year, but we do know the festival because God has given us these keys. He's given us through his word what's taken place. Now, the next feast is called Yom Kippur, the atonement. So according to theologians, the church is out of the way, and now God is pouring his wrath on this earth. It's called judgment. You know, a lot of churches won't teach judgment no more. Why? Oh, we don't want to offend nobody. I'm sorry, but that's what the Word of God teaches. Can I get amen? That's right. And then the last festival is Tabernacles. That's when God will be with mankind face to face, and we will tabernacle with God forevermore. Praise God. So, as you can see, Passover, Jesus was crucified. He was buried in the tomb. Second day was unleavened bread because he had no sin. Third day, he rose again on their third festival called First Fruits. 50 days later, the Holy Ghost is poured out on Pentecost. And now we are closing in on the church age. It's about ready to be over. So for 2,000 years, there's been a harvest. It's called the church age. And God, for 2,000 years, is adding souls to the kingdom of God. We're here because of God's grace. Can I get amen? I remember 32 years ago when I came into the saving knowledge of the Lord, I was 30 years old. And God called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. God delivered me right then and there. I was like Brother G. I wish Brother G was here. I was toe up from the flow up. I know some of you don't have that radical testimony, but let me just say this. You still needed to be saved. Can I get amen? Now, you remember this guy? Moses. Remember, and then Moses, let my people go. Remember that? Okay, so we have to look back to look ahead. We got to go to the Old Testament to see how this feast of Passover took place and why they celebrate it, right? So that we can have an understanding. This is why Paul never got rid of it. This is why the apostles in the New Testament never got rid of it. This is why he said, keep the feast, remember the feast. Can I get amen? But us Gentiles, it's oblivious to us. Why? Because we were never taught it. But thank God we were at the Jewish synagogue for 15 years. And man, me and the rabbi, we would tussle and wrestle. And man, and he knew I was speaking truth. But he kept kind of like, oh, okay, I see your point. My goodness. All right, let's go. Let's go to Exodus. Exodus 12, 3 through 13. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need, you shall make count for the lamb. So now, this is just letting us know how they had to prepare for the lamb. Let me just say this. Remember when Jesus was apprehended, we read that? And remember when they were about ready to crucify him? They, on the Temple Mount, at the same time, at 9 o'clock in the morning, they were bounding Jesus to the cross, and the priests were binding up the lamb on the temple at the same time. My goodness. That's not a coincidence. This is all the plan of God. Now, look at verse 5 here. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Did you catch that? Jesus had no sin. So there was no blemish on him. Can I get amen? A male of the first year, you may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorpost, on the lintel of the houses where they eat. Now, how many have you seen where in the Ten Commandment movie where they put the blood on the lintels and on the top? Amen? And then the death angel came, and what did the death angel do? It passed over, right? Hallelujah. Those of us who've been washed in the blood, filled with the Holy Spirit, the death angel will pass over us now. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Why? Because we're the born-again church. Hallelujah. From the risen Christ. He has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And now we can rejoice forevermore. Can I get amen? Praise God. So they had to put the blood. See, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. This is why the blood had to be poured out. Can I get amen? Praise God. That's why Jesus is called the Lamb of God, because he was the final sacrifice for you and I. Look at verse 8 now. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw nor boiled with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and entrails. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Of what remains of it until the morning, you shall burn it with fire. They didn't waste anything. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Now, let's go to verse 11. And thus you shall eat it with the belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Did you catch that? It doesn't belong to the Jews. It doesn't belong to the Gentiles. It's the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night and will strike the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all gods of Egypt. Notice little g, because they had a million gods. They worshiped frogs and insects and all kinds of things. But we serve the living God. Can I get amen? We serve the living God. And I will execute judgment, for I am the Lord. Now, let's look at verse 13. Now, the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Praise God. Now, unless you do a Hebraic search, you're never going to understand these words I'm going to show you that's found in Leviticus 23:2. Let's look at this for a moment. In Leviticus 23:2, it says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them concerning the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. These are my feasts." Now, what comes to mind when you hear the word feast? For some, it's hometown buffet. And preacher, you better hurry up because those ribs might be gone by now. Huh? We think of food, don't we? We think of celebration, a feast. So without looking at the Hebraic root word to that, it's going to go right over you. Now, convocation. "You shall proclaim to be holy convocations. These are my feasts." Now, let's break down those two words real quick. Feast and convocations. Look at this. The Hebrew word for feast is also moed. It's meaning appointed times. Meaning it's a time in the future that these things will come to fruition. So it's an appointed time. The word Hebrew for convocation is called mikra, meaning a dress rehearsal. So for thousands of years, the Jews are going through the seven feasts. You know, oh, it's Passover, and then it's this and that. But they don't see Jesus in it. So they're dress rehearsing. Why? Because Jesus, when he comes, he will fulfill all things. Can I get amen? He will make all things new. So if you don't know the root word in Hebrew, these words will just go right over you. But we can see now, convocation is a dress rehearsal, because in Hebrew, it's mikra, meaning rehearse, rehearse, rehearse. So they've been rehearsing this for thousands of years. And they look at it in a religious way, because they have no relationship with the living God. We do, because we've been born again. Can I get amen? That's right. That's right. Only the born again church is going to get their past out of here. And it's called removing the bride of Christ from this planet before God pours out his judgment. And so, the Passover lamb was to be a male without effect. All the people must slaughter the Passover lamb during this time. There is deliverance for those people who are covered by the blood of the Passover lamb. Nothing of the Passover lamb was to be left until the morning. The Passover lamb was to have no broken bones. The same regulations applied to Jesus. Notice when Jesus was on the cross, not one bone was broken. And so we have to see the parallels now. The parallels of Passover and the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, as Israel was in bondage to Egypt, so man is slave to sin. Did you catch that? For 400 years, they were in bondage. But you and I, who came into this world, conceived in our mother's womb, we were in bondage to sin. No differently. There was a taskmaster over us. Can I get amen? Okay. So for 430 years, the Hebrew people served the Egyptians. They had no choice. Every day they made bricks, built with built the pyramids, and they served their masters. Meaning, these people were whipped. They were flogged. And if you weren't building those stones quick enough, they would just take beatings to you. Can I get amen? Let me just say this. When we were slaves to sin before God saved us, we were beaten up by the devil every day. I hope you know that. Those who were caught up in drugs and alcohol, and those who were caught up in pornography, those were caught up in all kinds of sin. Some people didn't get into that area, but they were very religious. And they needed Jesus too. Can I get amen? That's right. And so if they disobeyed back then during the time of Egypt, they were beaten, almost beaten to death. And if they rebelled, they were killed. Such is life of the slave in Egypt. Now, look at number two. Each of us was born into the world as a slave to sin. And I have scripture to back that up. It's found in the book of Romans. Look at this. Let's go there. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, Adam and Eve, when they sinned in the garden. Can I get amen? Resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He had to come. The righteousness of God had to come, and he came in Jesus Christ. Look at this. Resulting in justification of life. You see, when God deals with our sin and he eradicates and removes our sin, then we are justified before the Father as righteous. Can I get an amen? So when God looks down from heaven, when God the Father looks down, guess what he sees? He doesn't see our sin anymore. He sees the blood that has covered our sin. Can I get an amen? It's the blood from Jesus that took away our sins. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Praise God. Look at this, verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, that's Adam and Eve, many were made sinners. So we came into this world as sinners. So also by man's obedience, many will be made righteous. So all we had to do was repent and receive Jesus. Can I get amen? Now, look at verse 20 right up here. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abound, grace much more abound. Well, that's right. Come on. Let me tell you, I don't care what position you're in. I don't care what you're dealing with. I don't care if an unbeliever is in prison, behind prison bars. Can I get amen? God can still save that soul. Hallelujah. I don't care what you're bound to. I don't care what are you bound up in, because the Bible says where grace abounds, come on, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. It don't matter what you're involved in. It's about repenting and giving your heart, and then God will come in like a rushing mighty wind and deliver you. Can I get amen? My goodness. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. Say this with me. It's all about Jesus. It's not about a pastor or an evangelist or a prophet. It's all about Jesus. Hallelujah. God drew us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Thank you, God. Look at what it says in Romans 3:23. For all, say that with me, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It was the shedding of the blood. Look at this. Whom God sent forth as a propitiation, meaning God had to bring in a substitute. And what was that substitute? It was the blood to cover us, hallelujah, from our wretchedness, from our sins, man, from this body of flesh, which is no good. Listen, there's nothing good in us. Can I get amen? There ain't no one thing good in us. That's right. I can praise you in the morning and in the same mouth curse you at night. Oh, come on. Okay, that's just me only. That's not you, right? You've never done that. Okay. I'm tattling on me. Here we go. But look at this. By his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, that means in his knowledge and the future that he saw ahead of him, God passed over the sins that were previously committed. This is why it's called the good news. This is why you have to tell people that are not saved that God wants to cleanse you and wash you. God wants to give you a new life. He wants to fill you with his spirit. He wants to eradicate your position right now and give you a new position in Christ, where all things will be passed away and behold, all things will become new. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. But here's a question I impose. Why can't we simply just stop sinning? Why? Have you ever got on a diet to get off again? Every time January 1 comes around, I get off it on January 2nd. It was a great thought. Have you ever, I'm on a diet, man, I'm doing my best. But you walk into a donut shop to buy a Diet Coke. Huh? in that big old glass case, and those donuts are just glaring at you. Oh, yeah, you got the power to say no, huh? Man. More importantly, have you ever tried to clean up your life and miserably failed? We can't stop sinning because by nature we're slaves to sin. We're slaves to sin. That's right. But how many believe that there's hope in Christ? The Word of God, hallelujah, will deliver us. Can I get an amen? The power of the risen Christ. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Can I get an amen? That's right. Yes, he did. Look at it in Romans right here, Romans 6:20. Look at that. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Meaning, because we were bound up, we didn't know how to worship. Because we were bound up, we didn't know how to praise. Oh, come on. Unbelievers don't wake up and say, I got to fast for a minute. Hang on. No, they get up, man. Where's the next bong at? Oh, okay. That was me again. That's right. And look at verse 21. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is what? Death. Did you catch that? Death. For now, having been set free from sin, having become slaves of God. I'd rather be a slave to God. Can I get amen? Than a slave to sin. Can I get amen? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Look at this. Slaves of God, you have your fruit now to holiness. Praise God. And the end, everlasting life. How many are so thankful to have everlasting life? Or do you want to just stay in your sinful state and crumble away? We have a lively hope. Can I get an amen? And the hope is in Christ Jesus, Him alone. He has defeated death, hell, and the grave. Praise God. Look at verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can I get an amen? Come on, somebody got to give God a shout of praise. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for delivering us. Thank you, Lord. Now, look at this. Just as the Hebrew people could not just leave Egypt, we cannot simply just leave our sin. You can't just make up your mind, oh, man, today I'm going to be a good boy. Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm going to be so good. And then we're driving down the street, and we see a billboard, and there's a half-clad woman up there, and we go, oh, my gosh. Oh, come on. Sin is all around us. Can I get amen? Sin is in our members. So the Hebrews needed God to deliver them. Can I get amen? Because they were bound to Egypt. They were bound to Pharaoh. They couldn't get away. Praise God. We need God to deliver us from our sin. No differently. Can I get amen? Amen. So as the firstborn of Egypt died, so death comes to all men. Look at this. Look at what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians. Look at this. Yes, we had. Say that with me. We had the sentence of death in ourselves. We were bound there. We were headed there. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Can I get an amen? It was God who raises from the dead. Look at that. Who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver. Can I get amen? Listen, how many of you have precious loved ones that have already died in Christ? At the age of 80, my father gave his heart to Christ, and I was privileged to baptize him in our jacuzzi. I was privileged to lead my mom to Christ at the age of 62 before she gone away to be with Jesus. But see, we must believe that if he did it for them, he will do it for us. That's still alive. Can I get amen? We're still alive. We're still breathing. And God's going to complete what he started in us. Can I get it? He who started a good work will complete it. So don't ever think you're an accident. Don't ever think, oh, well, God, I don't feel you. It's not about feelings. It's about walking in faith. Can I get amen? You're not going to always feel God every day, but you need to believe that he's with you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I will be with you. He said, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. How many believe that? Come on, you got to believe that. Thank you, God. Look at number 5. Look at this. God promised that the firstborn in Egypt would die, and he did. He brought it to pass, didn't he? And as surely as the firstborn died in Egypt, death comes to all. The Bible plainly says what is obvious to everyone. I'm talking everyone that comes into this world. Look what it says right here. Let's go right here. Hebrews 9:27. Look at that. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. Wow. See, this is why we need to get saved while we're alive down here. Can I get an amen? That's right. Because those who die without Christ will have to stand face to face to God in the white throne judgment. Look at this. So Christ was offered once to bear what? The sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him who will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. So this is why Jesus is coming back for his church. Can I get amen? He's coming back for you and I. Because the day, the moment you got saved, he wrote your name in the book of life. Can I get amen? That's right. Thank you, Jesus. You see, saints of God, the word appointed, it's very similar to appointment. We all have an appointment with death physically. Some have an early appointment. Some have a late appointment. But never forget that we all have an appointment with physical death. We do. But it's about securing your soul and your spirit. Can I get amen? Because the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So as believers, the moment we shut our eyes here on earth, we open them in the presence of God. Can I get amen? It's that fast. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm so blessed. How many are so blessed to know that you're a child of God? And that God will always remember you and come back for you. Thank you, God. Look at number six. Some 1,500 years later, a prophet named John the Baptist was preaching about the coming of the kingdom of God. So he baptized people as they repented of their sins. But that was, he was a forerunner. That was a shadow and a type. And he was preparing the way for the Messiah to come. He was waiting for his primo to come. Okay, you know what primo means, right? He was waiting for his cousin. Thank you, Jesus. That's right. And as he looked up from the river, he saw a man coming toward him and knew exactly who he was. Because right here in John 1:29, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Praise God. You see, he was a lamb. So in the Old Testament, they would what? They would bound up the lambs, right? They would look for one that had no blemish, no spot or wrinkle. Praise God. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. But Jesus had to come and get baptized to show us a better way in the new covenant. This is why it's important. If you've never been water baptized, Jesus was our example. He was our example. And let me just say this. When you become saved, look out for your time of testing. Because as soon as Jesus came out of that water, the heavens open up and his father says, "This is my son whom I'm well pleased." Amen. And then he was carried into the wilderness because the Holy Ghost was upon him. And guess who was there waiting for him? Oh, Slewfoot. That's right. Let me just say this. When Satan comes to buffet you, we got the name of Jesus now. Can I get amen? To bind the devil in the name of Jesus. Rebuke him in the name of Jesus. That's right. Plead the blood over that. Man, the blood is upon me. You have no right to come and buffet me no more. Can I get amen? I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. Come on, you got to rise up in faith and believe who you are now in Christ. It's not about you. It's about Christ in you, the hope of glory. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Now, let's look at this. As the blood of the Lamb saved the Hebrews, so the blood of Christ now saves us. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Look at what 1 John says. I love this passage of scriptures right here. 1 John 1, 5 through 10. Look what it reads. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. You see, when Jesus saves us, he fills us with his spirit. So the light of God is in us now. Hallelujah. And now we're not walking in darkness no more. Can I get amen? God gives us discernment. We know what's evil and we know what's righteous now. Can I get amen? There's no more excuse. Why? Because the light is now living inside. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. If we say we have fellowship with him, look at this. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, ooh, look what God's word says. I'm glad God wrote it and not me. Because if you brought some tomatoes, don't throw them at me. Take it up with God. Can I get amen? He says, look at this. And if we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. That's right. So we shouldn't go back to that old sin no more. Can I get amen? If God destroyed that thing in our life, keep it dead. Can I get amen? And when it wants to raise its ugly head, rebuke it. You know that's not of God no more. Can I get amen? Look at this. Now look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood, say that with me, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from what? Some sin? Just maybe a little bit of sin? All sin. And all means what? All means all. All sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and now the truth is not in us. You ever talk to an unbeliever? Man, you know what? God will wash away your sin. What sin? I don't sin. You know what? I don't know how many people I shared my testimony with, and you know what? You know what their throwback is? You know what their line of defense is? That was good for you. You needed to get saved, didn't you? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They'll come back. They'll come back in a whole different way. That's right. I remember you. You needed it. I'm glad for you. Be careful. Don't get mad. Don't get mad at them. You know, look at them through the eyes of Christ, that they need Jesus. Don't raise up an anger and rebuke them. Why? Because they don't know what we know. They haven't been enlightened by God. They're still walking in darkness. You see, look at this verse of scripture right here. Look at this. Verse 9. If we come, see, God makes provision, even as believers, because we're not going to live a perfect life. Can I get amen? But we're gonna live a life of faith. Walking in faith, knowing what God has done for us, what he's doing through us, and what he's about to do. Can I get amen? You have to believe that God's going to save your loved ones, that God is going to save your co-workers, that God's going to save your children. Some of you have parents that don't serve God. God's going to save them, but you got to believe. Can I get amen? It says if we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word of God is not in us. Be careful. Walk humbly before him. Can I get amen? Walk in faith. Walk with humility. Walk in the ways that God has raised us up. Can I get amen? Because let me just say this, in the kingdom of God, there's no big I's and little U's. We're all equal at the cross. Can I get amen? There's no hierarchy. There's only one shepherd, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. So saints, in the garden, when Adam and Eve sinned, God had to kill an animal to cover his nakedness. There has to be a covering. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? He didn't leave us naked. Thank you that we came to church with clothes on. Praise God. Praise God. That's right, because most of us would run out of here. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Something had to die and shed blood of the sin that was committed against God. So God knew from the garden when Adam and Eve sinned that there had to be a covering. And so guess what covers us now? His blood. By faith. But look at this. Look at that. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. So look at verse 23 right here. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which it was taken, and he drove out the man. See, when he drove him out of the garden, God still had a plan. But God had put limitations now on man. Before, they used to live to 900 years. I don't know if I want to live that long. I would need 5 canes to get me around. He put limitations. And this is why he had to send Jesus to die for us. Can I get an amen? That's right. Look what Hebrews says right here. According to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remissions of sin. So Jesus had to die for us. He had to die. Look, it's mentioned in Leviticus as we go quickly to close. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for your soul. So this is what happened at the cross. When Jesus died, he went in to the mercy seat and he sprinkled his blood on the mercy seat for you and I, that we would come by faith and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. We didn't have to bring a bull. We didn't have to bring a bullock. We didn't have to bring a pigeon no more. There's no more bloody mess because Jesus, once and for all, said it is finished. Hallelujah. He died on that cross for you and I. That's why it says right there, it is finished. Can I get an amen? He did it once and for all for us, for you and I. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Because in the New Testament, it mentions it, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he came, who came? Jesus came into the world. He said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. He was the final sacrifice. And it happened on Passover. This is what goes over Christians' heads. He did it on Passover Day. Every year we have to remember, just like we remember, you know, Easter, and it's not about the Reese's peanut butter egg. I hope you know that. It's not about hiding the eggs and you know, playing games. I get all that. Those are traditions of man. I'm not knocking against that. It's what's been taught to us. Can I get amen? I'm not up here to change any of that. You guys go have fun with your children. Can I get amen? But we have to tie in, hallelujah, Easter Sunday with the Passover, because that's when Jesus died. He died on that festival. Can I get amen? Praise God. Praise God. Look at this. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. So when they had to, five of them had to pull that bull, man, and they hated it. Every year they had to hate bringing in that beast to the altar. Look at this, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. Jesus, from Genesis to Revelation, is all about Jesus. He came in the volume of the book. Can I get amen? That's right, written of me. Jesus is telling everyone, the whole word of God is written about me to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire nor have pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Look at verse 9 right here. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. So God took away, he done away with the Old Testament. And then the New Testament was done in his blood. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you so blessed that God made a simple way for you and I? And all we had to do was just cry out and repent and turn to him and say, oh God, have mercy on a sinner like me. Because the blood has been built for 2,000 years now. Praise God. So saints, knowing this. Look at this. Look at what 1 Peter says. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. See, those animals were corruptible. They were temporary. Look at this. Or like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition of your fathers. But with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Praise God. Let this word of God sink in. And we're not online, so you can't go back to this message. Praise God. But you could go back to the audio because the audio is still recording, right, brother? These are key scriptures. These are scriptures that maybe you forgot about. Or maybe you need to be reminded. For some of you, maybe this is new revelation to you. I don't know. But I know this, that God is merciful. God is gracious. Can I get an amen? God loves his people. And so as the Hebrews were saved by applying the Lamb's blood, we are saved by applying the blood of Jesus. For by faith, Moses kept the Passover feast as mentioned. Look at this. In Hebrews, by faith. It's right there in your word. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And by faith, we have received Jesus. By faith. How many of you believe in Jesus? Oh, come on. That's right. Why? For by grace you have been saved through faith. And not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone shall boast. You can't say, oh man, look at me now. Man, we're all wretched before God. Can I get amen? The Bible says that Paul said it best. He goes, I was a chief sinner. Remember Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the apostle? He says, I was a chief sinner. You know what? He was the original drive-by. That's right. He would go do drive-bys. He'd bust down their doors and apprehend their believers. And he would have them crucified. He would have them fed to the lions. And yet God still had mercy. This is why I don't care what you've done in your past. God will still cleanse you and wash you from all unrighteousness. I'm gonna close with Luke right here. Look at this. This is Jesus now in red words. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Did you catch that? So everything that was prophesied in the Old Testament, it was all about him. It was all concerning Jesus. Look at this. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. This is Jesus now coming back from 40 days and 40 nights of being tested. He's filled with the power of God, and he walks into their synagogue, and they hand him the book of Isaiah. And guess what he's saying to them? Scriptures is fulfilled in your eyes. They were looking for the Messiah, and the Messiah was right in front of them the whole time. How many times did Christians come and witness to you, and Jesus was there the whole time? Huh? No differently. And then God turned on the lights on the inside so that we can see. Look at this in verse 40. Look at this. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And look what he says. He closes this out and says this, and you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So let me just say this in closing. A week from this Wednesday will be March 30th, I believe. And that's Nisan 17. And that has been recorded when Jesus rose again. We always celebrate Easter Sunday because it's tradition. But the real risen Christ rose on Nisan 17 on the Bible's calendar, the biblical calendar. Now, I'm not here to change your theology. I'm not here to change any of that. We still love our traditions, to be with our families. We go to picnics. We do all this. There's nothing wrong with that because that's what was taught to us. Can I get amen? And kids don't know any better. Don't take away their Reese's peanut butter egg. And if you do, pass them to me. But I'm just showing you biblical truth. It's here. And it's for us to understand the times that we live in. Now, here is what I found that is so intriguing. Because Nisan 17 has a historical connotation. Let's look at this. I know it's hard to read that, but I'll read it from here. Look at this. On Nisan 17, this is when Jesus rose again, right? On the biblical calendar. Noah's ark was safely rested on Mount Ararat, found in Genesis 8:4, on Nisan 17. Hebrews entered into Egypt for 430 years before deliverance on Nisan 17. The day of first fruits, Israel entered and ate the fruits of the promised land that Joshua and the 10 spies went. Remember them? On Nisan 17. Look at this. The walls of Jericho crumbled on Nisan 17. The cleansing of the temple, Hezekiah, and we've been to Hezekiah's tunnel on the mount there in Jerusalem. We walked through Hezekiah's tunnel. That tunnel and that tomb is still there. And it says right here, 800 years after entering the promised land, they entered in on Nisan 17. And look at this. On Nisan 17, the resurrection of the Messiah, he rose from the dead. On Nisan 17. So just remember, a week from this Wednesday, just if you could remember, text somebody, Jesus has risen from the dead. Can I get an amen? Jesus has risen from the dead. That's right. And you could text him on Easter Sunday too. It don't matter. But listen, that's the true day that he rose again. And so, how many believe that Jesus is soon to come? And brother, do we have the audio? Brother, we have the audio on the video? Okay. Listen. I said all that because it's going to culminate to this. And then we close. But how many believe Jesus is coming in the clouds? Huh? How many believe he's coming in the clouds? And how many believe that he's going to change us in the twinkling of an eye? In other words, it's going to be that fast. Hallelujah. And we're going to meet him in the air. That's right. You got to remember that he's not going to leave us down here like orphans. Can I get amen? He's coming for us. Jesus is coming again. And I got scripture to back that up. Look at this. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18, it says, "But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, those who have already died in Christ, lest you sorrow as others have no hope." There's people in our life that have no hope because they don't know Jesus. Can I get amen? "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep." So in other words, those who are in the grave, he's gonna rise them up. He's gonna raise them up. Praise God. Look at this. And then it says, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep." So here's the deal. They're gonna rise first. We're gonna do one of these. What? And then bam, we'll be following right after them. "For look at this, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel." The shout is going to be this. It's not going to be Herb Albert and the Tijuana Brass on the trumpet, okay? It's going to be a shofar. Oh, I went over somebody's head on that one. Look at this. That's right. When you hear the shofar, look out. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming. Can I get amen? Look out, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. That is the shofar blast. and the dead in Christ will rise first. Look at this. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord of the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, frighten one another. No, comfort one another. Don't be afraid of this. I can't wait. Just strap on your seatbelts because it's going to be a ride. And I can't wait. Hallelujah. You're afraid of flights. You won't be no more. Hallelujah. But we're going to be changed and we're going to be like him. Can I get amen? Look at this. Now this I say, brethren. See, this is why flesh and blood, we can't go into heaven. I can barely jump 6 inches. That's about it. If you ask me if I could dunk a ball, I can. Okay? I don't think anyone in here can dunk a ball. Can I get amen? But look at this. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption. We have to be changed from this corruptible body. Look at this. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And I did a study on that. It's faster than the speed of light. Speed of light travels 186,000 miles per second. A twinkling of an eye is faster than that. Hallelujah. At the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised, what? Incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. For this corruptible is put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now, let me ask you this question. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet the Lord in the air? Because if you are not ready, don't let this happen to you.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come...
I know it's a short little tiny clip, but that clip is pretty profound. Because many unbelievers are going to be left behind like that. They were in church, playing church. They weren't the church. They had a name tag said brother and sister so-and-so. Never been born again. They might have joined the church. Maybe they attended Sunday school. Maybe they grew up with their family, but never had a relationship with the living God. And so Peter preached this 2,000 years ago. Then Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin. That means forgiveness. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. You know what blesses my heart? What blesses my heart? When families bring their children to church. Because they're doing what God asked them to do. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And their little faith will grow one day, and all of a sudden they'll receive Christ. And all of a sudden their Jesus will go, oh God, I remember that story. And now it's my turn. Praise God. Praise God. And so, I'm gonna ask the worship team to come up. And if you've never received Jesus, I always have to give an invitation. I know we're not online and whatever. I felt like I had said, Lord, calm me down. I wanted to grab that laptop and throw it out the window. And my friends, our wonderful sister is going to be back with us Sunday, Sister Maya. They all up here have precious voices, don't they? Oh my gosh, we're blessed. We're blessed to have them in the midst of us, amen? We're so mighty thankful. And God is good. Listen, for those who've never given their heart to Jesus, I'm gonna just ask you to bow your heart and your head with me. Maybe you've prayed this 100 times. Maybe for the first time is resonating now. Maybe God is doing something mighty. He's making it come alive. And if you're here, pray this simple prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Is he worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com. Or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.